Welcome into the happy hour, everybody. 5 o'clock is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., and Matt Scraby. Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. We got an hour to go here. Then Scraby takes over with the Scraby Chronicles from 6 to 7. Tony Gwynn Jr. was out broadcasting today. Padres played on the road. He's still sitting in traffic, so we probably will not hear from Tony today. And he wouldn't have any good news to report anyway. The Padres were routed by the Colorado Rockies today, 13-2, in spring training play. We're going to talk a little bit about an article that Kevin Acey wrote today in the San Diego Union-Tribune. And I know that, Scraby, we talked about our number one Big Five story. I think maybe we just table that today.
That's fine.
So I want to get into this other thing if I can.
Yeah, that's fine.
Kevin Acey wrote an article in the San Diego Union-Tribune, and it has to do, it's you know, a little bio about John Seidler, who is the new point man, chairman for Padre Baseball. So I'm going to get into that in a second, but I'm not ready to, because the San Diego Union-Tribune has me thinking about our old friend and colleague in the San Diego media, Bryce Miller. And people know that he's been on this show, I would say, at least over a dozen times, Scraby.
Even more.
Yeah, maybe more. We know that he's an excellent columnist who writes for the San Diego Union-Tribune. I don't know anybody that's a sports fan out there, and I imagine if you're listening to this station, you are a sports fan. So I don't know any of you that don't know of Bryce Miller, haven't enjoyed an article, haven't enjoyed him coming on this show, his presentation, how much fun he always has. But Bryce needs our help right now. And he's going through a cancer scare. And his family, his brother, has posted a website for some donations to help for Bryce's care and recovery. And I can't tell anybody what to do out there. Everybody has to do what they feel they have to do. But I feel we as a San Diego sports community can help whatever we can help for somebody that's been there for us, and that's Bryce Miller. I don't have an exact update on how he's feeling, but I know it's not the greatest of news right now. And they need our help. His family needs our help. And I think we should, you know, if you can do it, if you can take a minute, if you think about it later tonight, you can send, I don't know, I don't care what you send, but anything to help Bryce Miller and that recovery, yeah, I think we should do it. So, Scraby, I direct everybody to Annie, our former colleague here, Annie Heilbrun.
Yeah.
You can go to her Twitter page, and if you scroll down, just a little bit, there's a post by Jay Posner, and that has a link to how you can donate. And it only takes like no more than 30 seconds to donate. I mean, that's it. You'll be done, you know. But I think it's something that we as a sports community need to rally around just a little bit here. I mean, Bryce Miller is one of our guys, and you know, I'm so sad. And I know we tried to get him on the show a few weeks ago, Scraby. You said,
yeah,
you know, that he wasn't feeling well. And now I know, you know, things are, you know, this cancer, he's been battling it for a few years. And, you know, I think it's come back here. And, you know, if there's anything we can all do, keep him in your prayers, your thoughts, you know, to pray for a speedy recovery here. And, you know, if you can help out, you can do that.
Yes, absolutely.
That's not the happiest way to start the happy hour, but
no, but it's important.
I, you know, that, it's something I had to absolutely talk about today, Scraby. This Bryce Miller has been a great friend ever since he's come to San Diego.
Our guy Jax, yeah, really, just, sorry, posted in the chat 40,000 already raised for the I'm going to go click on this because I want to see how
that's
much.
True. Yes,
wow.
I believe it's around 40. Yeah. So people have already come to his aid, but They need, you know, they need more.
41,000 right now.
Dang.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So if you can go to this, I mean, put $100 down, $50, you know, maybe you're a student somewhere, put $10 down, whatever. And, you know, so hopefully we can help Bryce recover.
Yeah.
He deserves that.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now I'm a little emotional, Scrave, I must say.
Well, before we get to
the less important topics of the day, which is Kevin Acey's article on John Seidler. And it's interesting because the one thing that I kind of take from the article, and it'll probably be in the paper tomorrow, but I'm sure you can find it online now.
It's definitely online. You read it online,
yeah.
Chris.
I'm reading it online, yeah. Yes, you do have the ability to watch, to look at the story online because I'm looking at it online.
That's funny.
Yeah. The thing that kind of comes to my mind here is that John Seidler admits, and he's not under any, nobody's putting any extra pressure on, or he's not under any criticism, but he admits that being the chairman of the Padres is never something that he really aspired to be.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to me because don't you get the feeling that probably a lot of people might aspire to something like this?
Yeah, yeah.
And if so, you kind of start wondering maybe what their motives are and what they're thinking, and they want to put this spin on it and that spin on it. I kind of am happy to hear that this is not something he aspired to. Seidler says in the article that Peter, his late brother, did an amazing job and was loved by the fans, etc. You find a lot of respect. You find people that appreciate. Peter had a unique personality. He was a natural for it. He deserved it. He earned it. In terms of stepping into the role, Eric Kutsenda took the baton from Peter and carried on executing the Padres' plan. And basically, John Seidler just says, all I want is what the fans want, and then I want to see the plan that's already been in place carried through with the idea of winning a world's championship. And I, you know, those can just be words coming from a lot of people. But I think from somebody like John Seidler, who didn't necessarily aspire to this role in the first place, I really believe him. I believe that he just is here to try and carry on, you know, what his brother started.
I think
this is good news for the Padre fans, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I read this whole thing. It has some good information there. I definitely agree with you on that, that if it's not something he's aspiring, you know, it's not something that he's like gunning for. So to me, it makes me feel better as well. I can't really explain it right now for some reason, but it makes me feel better that this is not something he's been after for years and years and years. But he said what you want, Chris, which is the first priority. It's the product on the field. Our goal is to field playoff caliber, World Series championship caliber teams each and every year. Second goal that they have, the experience in the stadium. And third is the community. It's they've increased their contribution from hundreds of thousands to something like $3.6 million for a positive impact. But I'm a pretty skeptical human being, Chris, but I see John Seidler's picture and I tend to believe him.
Seems to be, like I said, I'd be more worried if he came in and said, ha, this is what I've been waiting for.
Yes. Now we're really going to get things started.
Now we're going to take care of stuff.
Yeah.
Those kind of salesman type people.
Yeah.
Never really seem to pay off. You notice that?
I do notice that.
Yeah, they come in with a lot of bluster, but they don't always deliver. I think a guy that sits there and says, hey, this is not something I aspired to, but it's an honor I take with great, you know, seriousness, and I just want to carry on what we've already been doing, I think those guys are more likely to be telling the truth.
Yeah, I mean,
So
part of me, well, I think that he's telling the truth when he says that their goal is to win a World Series. I do think that's true.
Well, everybody's goal. I mean, Dick Monfort probably says that when he goes to speak to the Kiwanis Club in Denver.
The Kiwanis Club.
But nobody believes him when he says it.
I don't think he's ever said that. He's just like, can I make a buck off this team? All right. But
isn't it hilarious that we are in San Diego, I don't know, 500 miles away. We probably make more fun of Dick Monfort than they do in Denver.
That's true, because they're afraid in Denver to make fun of him.
Either that or they just don't care.
I want to ask you this. There's a whole part of this article, Chris, and I know it's not that big of a deal, but okay. John Seidler grew up a Dodger fan. Massive Dodger fan.
Yeah.
He says Peter did too, which we all know Peter loved the Padres more than anyone on earth. But he said in 2012, he started making the switch once their family got involved. They attended 62 games last year. But he said he went through a 12-step program for BLA, and now he can say he's completed it and he's never going back.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
So what do you want me to say? I wish he was never a Dodger fan in the first place?
No. Can you really? I guess when money is involved, you can definitely change your fandom. But it would be like me all of a sudden working for the Seahawks and being like, I love the Seahawks. It would be hard for me to do that.
I think it would be. But I think you'd be able to do it. Especially if you're the owner.
Yeah.
I mean, if you work in the novelty store, you know, and you're going, come on, get your Seahawk gear here, pennants, beat 49er t-shirts, you could probably do that and still like the 49ers.
All right.
But if you own the team, pretty sure you're going to be rooting against them.
Yeah, I don't think that he's going to, like, throw games for the Dodgers or anything like that. It's just it's a big part of the article.
Well, it is, and look, it all stems from the fact that their grandfather, Walter O'Malley, was the guy that moved the Brooklyn Dodgers to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be pretty hard to erase that. I mean, Walter O'Malley wasn't just a figure in Dodger baseball. He was Dodger baseball. This guy was their grandfather. How can they not have grown up Dodger fans?
Yeah, I mean, it's very hard to not grow up a Dodger fan when...
I would think. Yeah. But I really don't think he's trying to short-circuit the Padres in any way, shape, or form.
I don't either. At this point.
So I think you can be safe for that.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, I understand. You're a worrier.
I don't worry about him, like I said, I don't worry about him sabotaging the team. I don't think the Dodgers thing is really a big deal. I think it's actually kind of crazy they put so much effort into the whole Dodgers thing in the article.
I think it's a refreshing thing that when John Seidler arrived in camp this week in Peoria, according to the story, he carried his ID badge around with him.
He's my type of guy. I saw that
there
too.
You go,
I'm
right?
glad. Because
yeah.
only respectful people... who are of that ilk bring their ID badge.
Yeah, he knew not everybody knew who he was, so he wasn't going to go up to some guard somewhere and go, excuse me, I'm John Seidler, I am the chairman of the board.
Yeah, like
he brought his own ID.
That is awesome. I do love that.
Tell me that doesn't make him sound like a real person.
No, that scores points for sure, with me at least, because, you know, Bruce Bochy couldn't get through security. How's John Seidler getting through security?
Bruce Bochy could not get through security the year before he won his fourth World Series.
Yes, and I had to, like, basically talk the security guard down. He would not let him step one foot.
No, he was not letting him in.
But that was also
because... The classic Bochy was not willing to say, you know, I'm Bruce Bochy.
He didn't say that,
I used to manage the Padres. I kind of am part of this whole baseball thing here.
Yeah.
He said nothing.
It was definitely a lot.
Bochy is the man. All right. Take a break. 5:15, check of traffic. And then some more revelry.
Revelry,
on Gwen and Chris.
Okay.
Yeah. They shoot. Sheffy into the lane. Over it goes. Quezada, right wing three. Good.
Quezada hits one from the right wing. A three-pointer. 36-23. Jackson straight away to Brown. Brown bounce on the back door cut to Alexander. Knocked away. Picked up by Pong and Ebon. Ahead to Sheffy. She's in for the layup. Beautiful play. 38-23. Kimson right back. Hangs shot blocked by Ponganibon. What a play. Villalobos back in front. Scores it on the layup from Quezada. Timeout, UNLV.
Wow, I got excited there, Scraby.
I know Ponganibon. That was a great, great. You pronounced that perfectly. I met her. She's tiny. How did she block a shot?
I don't know. And she blocked it on the best player in the league, practically.
That's crazy.
It was a great play. And, yeah, that was a big run in the game yesterday as the Aztecs women knocked off UNLV. And they go to the finals tonight. We did have our a chat with Stacey Terry Hudson a little earlier. We'll give you a chance to hear that in the 5:30 segment today. And if you want to watch the game tonight, the championship from Vegas, it'll be on the CBS Sports Network beginning at 7:30. Although I recommend you tune in to GoAztecs.com and you find the Aztecs Radio Network and you listen to me call the game. And maybe you sync up and watch the TV and listen, and we'll have some fun tonight. The Aztecs try for the championship. Thanks for playing that, Scraby. It only took you 3.5 hours to find it. Not bad. Not too
shabby. He's not lying, everybody. He's not lying.
He started looking for that at 2:00.
Well, I mean, I didn't have any like video to go along with it, so I'm basically clicking around, hoping that you say the time when I click.
Yeah. No, it wasn't easy to find, but he found it, and that was a little highlight stretch for the Aztecs last night. We sent our. You know, we have a show correspondent now, Scraby.
We do.
Our very own. His name is Sam Levitt. He doesn't know that he's one of our show correspondents, but he is. And
he knows.
He did an interview with Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah.
Oh, you think he knows?
I do.
All right. Well, he's down in Peoria, and he did a visit with Xander Bogaerts. Now, I don't think anybody's heard much from Xander Bogaerts this spring.
Yeah, just things here and there.
Yeah, well, you're going to hear a bunch from Xander right now. A little 5-minute visit with Xander Bogaerts from Sam Levitt from Peoria.
Sam Levitt here of the Padres Radio Network and 97.3 The Fan. And right now I'm joined by Padres shortstop Xander Bogaerts here in Peoria as we inch our way towards opening day, final couple of weeks of spring training. And Xander, thinking about it, every spring training for you with the Padres has been a little bit different. 2023, mm-hmm. Your first one. Last year, you come here. You're moving to second base, obviously a different kind of spring. What has this spring been like in particular, knowing you're playing shortstop, and really the schedule has been pretty normal as well?
Yeah, I think for the most part, like physically, I mean, I feel good. You know, don't have any of those issues I had when I did that switch over to second, you know. I just think my body kind of took a little longer to get adjusted to that maybe. Me never playing that position, I had no idea of it being something like that or probably had to go through something like that. But yeah, just feeling pretty normal for the most part. My legs, my hips and stuff like that feels pretty normal. I mean, I maybe it's just my body just used to that.
I know early in spring training you talked a little bit about how the offseason was different for you from a training perspective.
Yeah.
Can you get into some of the details of what you did differently from a physical perspective?
Ran until I couldn't run no more, you know? No, yeah, but just as I said, just kind of going back at short, you know, knowing that I am getting older and I'm aware of that, you know, and just trying to do everything possible to, I mean, I still feel young, you know, but if you can feel even younger, you know, keep those legs fresh and just feel faster, quicker. I mean, definitely think a lot of those workouts that we did at home helped a lot, feeling much lighter, feeling quicker. So as I said, knowing that going back at short, that's a very demanding position. Second base, it's a lot different, you know, but I still feel like it's a little less stress on your body. But for the most part, it's been smooth so far.
What's it been like to show up here this year? Obviously, there are a number of faces that contributed to a 93-win team last year that aren't here, whether it be Profar, Solano, or Peralta.
Higgy.
But you walk inside that clubhouse, Sander, and something that stood out to me immediately, there are a lot of faces that are. I mean, the core of this team is the same. A group that played so well last year, seemed so tight-knit last year. What stands out to you about what you have in that clubhouse right now?
And, I mean, we brought in another set of group of veteran guys. Yep. You know, for the most part, our team is the same, but we definitely did lose some key guys on our team. Scott also, I know we got him at the deadline, but he was huge for us. Hey, man, that's the game. You know, I've been around so long that you can't have them all. You know, it's very tough to run back the same team. Guys had really good seasons. Other teams value them differently, so they're not here no more. But that just opens up the door for other guys, younger guys, veteran guys that, you know, want to extend their careers, younger guys that want have something to prove. Merrill obviously having that great year last year. I mean, that was very special. Also, it's kind of a new addition. You know what I mean? He was a rookie last year, he had an awesome year for us last year. As a lot of guys can see, like the younger guys, like, I mean, Jackson did it. We have a lot of guys that probably similar age or a little younger. I mean, if he can do it, you know, that gives them a little push that, you know, it's possible.
It was a wonderful regular season. Obviously, it didn't end the way you guys envisioned. I've talked to you a lot in the past about winning a couple of World Series, what you can impart on younger players on this team, really in the clubhouse as a whole, from your history of success in the playoffs. What do you hope this group learned from the way it ended last year?
It's a big question. Yeah, but last year was one that, you know, you might have felt like you let it slip away or felt like you probably had the best team but didn't win at all, you know. And as I say, it's very tough for you to run back the same team. And 2013, we won. We were a veteran group. Yeah. I was one of the younger guys. We won, then we tried to run it back. I think we actually brought back kind of much the same team in 14, and I think we ended up last place, you know. So don't take everything for granted, you know. Don't ever. Didn't mean that you were there last year that you're going to be there automatic this year. Every year is different. Just continue working hard and being as a group. You know, whenever we go through adversity, know who we are, fall back on what we're known for, our identity. Just like here, you know, 2022, we made it. I wasn't part of the team, but guys made it all the way almost to the end. And then in 2023, my first year here, we definitely underperformed for sure, you know. So, and then we made it back last year. It was a special year. So every year is different. Don't ever take anyone for granted, any year for granted. This is a hard game, you know, and all the other teams in the big leagues are definitely adding to their roster. They saw what we did last year also. Mm-hmm. So makes you also have a little target on your back, you know, to be honest with you. A lot of teams, whenever they show up at Petco, like, they want the boys. You know, they know we're pretty good. And, hey, it comes with it. You know, when you're good, that's who they want to go after, you know. So be aware of that and understand that's going to happen, you know. And we're up for the challenge. We're definitely excited for this new year. And as I said, last year was very special.
Finally, we've talked about your offseason training, your health, your defense back at shortstop. Xander, from an offensive perspective, you know, hopefully you can stay healthy the whole year. What do you want to accomplish? What are your goals this year offensively?
Ooh, have another silver slugs type season. Yeah. You know, I mean, I've definitely won a couple. Very blessed for those, but definitely having one of those type of seasons. I know my first year here, I was nominated. You know, last year was a very tough one for me personally on a performance level. You know, and listen, this is a new year, and we obviously had, at least I've had something special last year that we got so far. We almost had a chance. You know, they kind of took off some of the weight off of yourself and your performance, you know. But you definitely want to help contribute each and every game and hopefully make a big push. So hopefully another solid Xander Bogaerts type season.
Well, Xander, great to see you. Thank you for the time as always. Thank you. Look forward to catching up throughout the course of the regular season.
Wow. Sam Leavitt is unbelievable. I mean, he's incredible. This guy, he gets all the stars. I don't know if you saw the very last frame of that on the YouTube chat.
I know, I cut it off too early.
A little early. I mean, Xander just, you know, yakking it up there with Sam Leavitt after the interview.
Yes.
All the players respect Sammy Leavitt.
They do. They do. I mean,
when he comes into their locker for an interview, they take notice.
Yes, and I don't know why, but for some reason, I'm a big Xander Bogaerts sucker, and I think that he's going to be good this year. I said it last year, but I think this is the year, Chris.
Well, it would certainly help. If Xander Bogaerts comes anywhere close to what he used to do in Boston, The Padres are going to be looking good in the NL West race because this guy's capable of putting up, you know, Manny type stuff.
He is.
And he just hasn't done it in his first two seasons. So we'll hope this is the year. All right, break time. I'm on my way to the arena, Scrabe. Wish
All
us
right.
luck.
I will.
Get the big one tonight. Remember, you can watch it on the CBS Sports Network or listen on Go Aztecs. Back in town with you tomorrow, Scrabe. So look All forward right. to that. Stay tuned. Stacey Terry Hudson previews tonight's game. And Scraby wraps things up on 97.3 The Fan.
I know you're all waiting for this out there. I can already see it on the chat. Asking for the biggest fan name. Did he say the biggest fan name yet? This is actually kind of fun holding on to this biggest fan name. But I'll stop and stop being annoying. Congratulations to today's biggest fan, James Morris of San Diego. James Morris of San Diego. Give us a call back within the next 10 minutes at 833-288-0973 and you'll qualify for our grand prize, 20 tickets for you and your friends for a night in our Odyssey suite at a Padres game later this season. Remember to register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggest fan. James Morris of San Diego, your time starts now. We're going to hear from Coach Stacey Terry Hudson in just a couple minutes. She was on the show earlier today. Chris has left the show so that he can go and call the game tonight between the Aztecs and the Wyoming Cowgirls. And I'm not joking. That's what they call them, the Cowgirls. And Wyoming's actually been pretty good in the last couple years, and they beat San Diego State twice this year. But San Diego State wasn't supposed to beat UNLV. They were a powerhouse, and San Diego State got past them. But Stacey Terry Hudson came on the show earlier and talked a little bit about her team. This is the second straight year they've been to the finals. It's kind of gone under the radar a little bit. They had third straight year with 20 or more wins for the Aztecs women's program. And that is something to celebrate. It's not easy. It's not easy at all to win 20-plus games three straight seasons. And as Chris said earlier, she's been head coach for the last 12 seasons, and it's been a growth of the program, but at certain times they could have gone in a different direction. And JD Wicker loves what he has with the head coach Stacey Terry Hudson, and he stuck with her, and that is a good thing because now they're reaping the benefits of that three straight 20 plus win seasons, two straight Mountain West Conference finals, all of that. It's good stuff. Scraby Show is coming up after this, but I have an announcement that I have finally gotten the date for the first Scrabinator game of 2025. And I'm not going to give away the date yet. We have to wait a little bit, but it's in the early part of the season. And I heard from so many people that they wanted a 6:40 p.m. start because teachers, people who are at work, before it was the kind of like middle of the day thing, but I secured the Odyssey Suite for a 6:40 p.m. start. So stay tuned on how to enter, all of that, because it's coming up. But it's happening. It's happening, people. We're doing Scrabinator Game 3 now. Game 3. I think there may be food. Don't quote me on that because that's not done. But I'm going to continue and try to make Scrabinator games bigger and better. Okay, traffic first, and then you'll hear from Aztecs women's head coach Stacey Terry Hudson.
Tonight is indeed the championship game, and we are joined by Stacey Terry Hudson from right here in Las Vegas with us. Coach, anything new with you these days? It's been a while since Scraby and I've had a chance to talk to you.
You know, just competing for a championship tonight. So getting excited, getting a little nervous, and, you know, just preparing our girls to, you know, hopefully climb a ladder and cut down some nets.
Let's talk about your win for a minute last night. I know you and the coaches are, you know, focused on what's the task at hand tonight, but to beat UNLV, beat them for a second time this season, it took a, you know, I was just telling Scraby, it took a really extraordinary effort by your kids, and it seemed like they came through and did everything that you as a coaching staff asked them to do to win that game.
I think you're right on, Chris. And, you know, we had a really good game plan. I think the staff and I, you know, developed a game plan where we really wanted to take away what UNLV does well, and that's getting downhill, driving the ball downhill. And, you know, we made a really good effort to take away their right hand to drive and, you know, and was able to rotate around that. They were locked in, really, really focused. So I'm hoping we get that same level of focus tonight because I think it's going to take all of that to win against Wyoming.
We're talking to you,
Coach. About Wyoming, oh, sorry, Coach.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Scott. I just want to ask her real quick about when you talk about Wyoming, they're a different team completely in the sense that they're built around a post center who scores 20 points a game and gets 10 or 15 rebounds and is the player of the year. So your defense has to be almost something completely different tonight, does it not?
100%. You know, so we've been focusing on that. And, you know, we decided to take, you know, not use our shoot around and take that time to stay in and watch film just to rest their legs. So just really focusing on making it harder for her. There's no way that you can stop such a powerful player like Allison Fertig. But we're going to try to make her touches a little bit more challenging and then making sure that we understand what the rest of her team likes to do. So maybe we can, you know, hold her to her average and keep everyone else guessing on what we're going to do with them. That's the game plan. But you can't stop a young lady who's as powerful as she is so close to the basket. But we're going to do our best. Going to throw a couple things at her.
Stacey Terry Hudson's Aztecs are in the championship for the second consecutive year. And, you know, this is something, Coach, you've talked about with your team since I first, you know, saw you at the beginning of the season back in, you know, late October, early November when you started working out with these kids. And, you know, you told me that you thought you had something this year. And you also, you know, really imparted on them that it was all about trying to cut down nets at the end. And now here, the moment has arrived. So how do you kind of translate everything that's happened all season and try to pour it into this evening?
You know, I think they're prepared. I think we've, like you said, we've focused on this, getting better each game. And I think we're playing pretty good basketball right now. Having some momentum going into the tournament helped. You know, we're just trying to make sure that we're giving them everything that they need to be successful as far as the coaching staff. And then I have a group that's really competing at a high level. So if we can go out and, you know, and get a little lucky and work really hard, I think we have a great chance at winning this whole thing, you know, but it's definitely not going to be easy.
Talking to Coach Stacey Terry Hudson here on 97.3 The Fan. Her team is playing Wyoming tonight in the Mountain West Championship. And I saw a hashtag earlier call. It said, "We over me." And I really love that message. And so my question for you is, in the day and age when it's really hard to find people to buy in as a team, how do you know when you're recruiting a player that you are recruiting a "we over me" person?
You know, that's a great question, and thank you for asking, because I knew that we were going to be really, really talented, as Chris alluded to earlier. So I wanted to make sure they understood, and I wanted them to know that I understood that it would be an individual sacrifice for them for the team goal, because I have a great group of young women. A lot of them that are coming off my bench could be starting for us or starting for another program. So I knew that it was going to take sacrifice. And I just got a group that understood and bought into that and understood that it was less about the individual goals and accolades and more about the team. And I, you know, we just kind of, that's been our mantra, you know, the "we over me." And, you know, sometimes we say sometimes you, sometimes me, it's always about us. And that's really just rang true this year because we've been so consistent with production, not only with our starters, but also with the young ladies coming off our bench. So I think that's kind of been our superpower, being able to keep people coming at you offensively. And defensively, we've just made such a big jump this year. And I think that's really been the difference maker.
Coach, I know one of the people that I think a lot of fans, basketball fans in San Diego, recognized this year was when your husband, Justin, you know, had left Fresno State and you named him as one of your assistant coaches. And I mean, Justin Hudson, his name when he was with the Aztecs especially was synonymous with defense. And you're talking about your team playing defense. All of the coaches have meant a lot. I know this because I see them work every single day. But how has your own husband been a contributor to your program?
You know, he's been great. It's just nice having him around. You know, he knows so much basketball, and he's kind of taken a back seat because, you know, obviously he has so much experience, but just a great consultant, great ear, you know, and just always giving me constant ideas how I can make and help this team grow and be better. But, you know, we, like you mentioned, I mean, I have not only Justin, but with Kelly, John, Greg, Mel, all the guys and gals on my staff, we just have a really good group, a lot of experience. And I think that's really helpful when you're trying to make a run in March and preparing them throughout the year.
Last one for me, Coach. You have led this team to three straight 20-plus win seasons, and I saw that earlier, and it floored me. Chris has been working with you for the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, and so I've kind of seen the evolution of the team. But what do you credit most for these three straight 20-plus win seasons?
We got the right people on the right seats of the bus. People in our program. We got great people in our program, and we've done a great job in recruiting, getting kids that can buy into what we're selling, and we've been able to retain a lot of those kids. So last year we didn't have a single person go into the transfer portal, and I think that really helped us not only, you know, keeping and retaining kids, but also bringing kids in, and we have a fabulous freshman class. I just think it's what we offer at San Diego State. You know, we're kind of that triple threat. You're going to get a great education, you're going to compete for championships, and then you live really close to the beach, so it's really hard to say no.
And Coach, I'm going to let you go because I know you got a lot of work to do, but before you go, you're four freshmen. Three of them were tremendously instrumental in the win last night, and two of them are from San Diego, Naomi Ponganiban and Bailey Barnhard. Developing that connection with San Diego for your program and the freshmen coming in and being able to contribute, how is this going to help you even more going forward?
You know, if we can find a way with NIL and revenue sharing to make sure that we keep these young women, I think you're going to see a tremendous jump next year, and then the future being so bright for San Diego State women's basketball. I mean, you mentioned Bailey, who hasn't got a lot of time this year, but mark my words, this kid is special, and she's going to do some amazing things. She has a great knack for rebounding and can score at the rim, but could also, you know, handle the ball. She has some guard skills. And then you've been able to see what Naomi can do. And, you know, I love these freshmen because they don't know anything different, you know, and they don't know what they don't know. And I love that about them. And, you know, they're coming in and playing and challenging these upperclassmen guards from these other teams. And I'm just really proud of what they've been able to do. So I think the future's bright. We're going to work really hard in the offseason to make sure that they stay Aztecs. And if we can keep them here, we're going to be in good shape for the near future.
And as I let you go, Coach, I want to tell Scraby and remind you and myself that when you came into this program 12 years ago, there's only two of us who are here with time. And I believe that's me and Queenie, the athletic trainer.
Yep.
So the three of us.
And Angie.
Okay, from the equipment. I apologize to Angie. But, you know, we've all been here the entire ride, Scraby. It's been longer than 5 years. So this is a great night for all of us and all your kids and everybody bleeds red and black. And I know everybody's wishing you the best, Coach. So we'll talk to you later.
Thank you so much. See you soon. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
There she goes. Back to work, I'm sure, Scraby. Looking at film, getting ready. Tonight's contest against Wyoming, Stacy Terry Hudson. Yeah, I've been on this, been doing this for longer than you think, Scrape. You said 4 or 5 years.
I said 4 and 5 years because that's really kind of, I mean, we've worked together for 7 years.
Right, that's true. Right,
They weren't, I'm not saying they were bad, but they weren't the team that they are in the last 3 years.
They absolutely were not.
So that's the evolution I'm talking about. And even Stacy or Coach Terry Hudson, even just the way she interviews has changed over the years. She's more decisive, and you can just feel the head coach when you hear her interview. And there you go. Chris is off. The team is off. They're playing for the Mountain West title tonight at 7:30 on CBS Sports Network. Yeah, CBS Sports Network. So make sure you tune in for that. We got a little injury update. If you're a fantasy baseball player and you're having your draft soon, I know that our draft is being finalized at the moment. Kansas City Royals shortstop Bobby Witt Jr. only suffered a bruised left forearm when he was hit by a 96-mile-an-hour fastball in a spring training game today. X-rays were negative. Timetable for his return is unclear, but sources say that he's not going to have a long absence, and he's probably going to end up playing by opening day if everything goes well. You want to know who hit him? Andres Munoz, 96, right in the forearm. You can't expect injuries, or you can't plan around injuries, but does Bobby Witt Jr. really need to be playing right now? I mean, he's not going to be playing for the rest of spring training after this, but that would be a little scary for teams to have, you know, your best player go down early in spring training, kind of like what the Yankees are going through with Gerrit Cole. And I was reading today that the Yankees said, yeah, we're going to need pitching, but there's not much out there, and we're going to promote from within. So the Yankees pitching situation is really bad heading into the year. You lose your number one starter, Gerrit Cole. You lose your guy who's coming off of the Rookie of the Year, Luis Gil. And now, you picked up Max Fried. That's good. But at the time, you thought you were going to have that in addition to Gerrit Cole. But I can't say I feel bad for the Yankees. I've always spent my days thinking bad or hoping for bad things to happen to the Yankees. I'm sorry, Yankees fans, but Frank's in here. He's giving me a thumbs up. That was funny, Frank. We're going to talk about on the Scraby Show. We have a lot to talk about, and I think I'm going to go a little bit more into the Kevin Acey article about John Seidler, and we'll talk about some other fun stuff as well, because talking about spring training baseball all day, every day is fun, but the stories that I want to bring to you at the end of a five-hour shift are my favorite stories in the entire world, and Frank's just going to have to sit there and listen to every single one of them, which is part of my fun, too, because then I kind of get to torture Frank as well. So we're going to be back here in just a little bit. We're going to do a shift change. Frank's giving me the look like, what are you talking about? I don't know, Frank. I have no idea what I'm talking about. But we're going to do the shift change, and we're going to get the Scraby Show, and then after the Scraby Show, from 7 to 9 p.m., it's the final Inside San Diego Baseball from Peoria with Sam Levitt. Last one is tonight, so make sure you all tune in. But I'll be back with you in about 5 minutes or so with the Scraby Show on 97.3 The Fan.